cut your dick off.
Hey, you know what? I'm gonna cut your dick off. Ah!
Been destroyed because of this freak. I won't allow it. These babies just saved this lame death party.
You are listening to Twig, the flagship of stupidity. I am your host, Mike the Birdman. It is a glorious Sunday morning as we record this, but I am joined with this guy.
Alex.
This motherfucker.
Alex, who's just glad it's not raining anymore.
Oh my God.
It's what been a week.
For like 2 weeks, and of course.
It's cold and rainy. I'm Mr. Christopher. I'm petting a kitty on my lap, and I'm very happy right now.
Dr. Wiley is just in heaven right now.
Like, it cleared up just enough for Halloween. Like, just literally for like 6 hours where people could go trick-or-treating, and then it rained like a piss, like a bitch out there for like 3 days.
Yeah, it was a couple days before, a couple days after. Pretty much every day I'm walking to and from work with an umbrella and freezing my ass
off. It went from the first day where it was raining from like October cool rain to we've got the November rain within like 3 days where it's like the freezing rain. But not freezing, like the ground is still warm enough that it doesn't freeze.
It just hurts your hands to just be out there for a while.
Yeah, like I haven't been outside in my wheelchair because of this stuff, which bloody sucks. Although I'm hoping to get out today at some point. I hope it's not so freezing or I can't.
It's, you know what, it's at a good temperature. If you want to go jogging or if you are going to go outside,
wear track pants.
If you wear track pants and a sweater, you can probably get away with a windbreaker. Because right now it's not too windy, but like it was a windy day yesterday.
Yeah.
So I'm just happy that we're having sunlight finally.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to see the day orb.
It's a calm day, nice and beautiful. It's definitely November, though. It feels like it.
Now, one of the things my wife has been badgering me to tell is a story that's circled around in our group for about a week now.
Uh-oh.
But you, the Twig listeners, do not know. So my wife went grocery shopping the other day. And she's going through the aisles of a local grocery store, and this gentleman, who appears to be out of sorts of some kind, kind of sneaks up beside her and kind of leans into her. So kind of creepy. Super creepy. And just whispers in her ear in this raspy, crypt keeper-like voice, "Small tits." And then books it to the front of the store.
Really?
Yeah. And Blair's like, what?
I didn't hear this.
Baffled. Oh, yeah. She didn't know what to do.
What's happening?
Oh, my God.
My wife is not a small woman.
No, but you know what? Maybe he was just, like, thinking she'd be part of that itty-bitty-titty committee, like part of that club with him.
Well, it was so strange because, like I said, my wife is not a small woman. She was wearing one of my hoodies, so maybe... But still, that's so inappropriate.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say it was a code word for something. She was like she fit the description of someone who was supposed to be looking and waiting for there. Like, you know, the raccoon barks at midnight or something, but small tits is the code word.
It's like a 6 year old, you know, boys have penis, girls have vagina.
It was so weird. So I thought I'd finally mention that because Blair's been like, please tell the story on the podcast. Well, I
forgot. On our way in today, we saw Elvis again.
Oh!
Yeah, Elvis.
He lives.
Rug mop hair Elvis.
Turns
out Elvis has a mink jacket, like a mink winter coat.
He does live well.
And he looked perfectly warm out there picking up the cigarette butts at the side of the road now that the Victoria Street Bridge is open. He was walking up and down there, and man, he keeps the roads clean of all the cigarette butts.
Well, Elvis, working for your community.
Yeah.
So coming up on the show this week, we got a lot of reviews. We're actually probably going to start changing things up as we start to wind things down from the beginning of the year. We're probably going to start inserting reviews after the news and before weird news, just to kind of give you guys a little bit more content, kind of starting to clear out our backlog of content.
Not to mention we're entering that big golden quarter where everything comes out for the holiday season.
Believe me. Yep. So when we say, like, personally, I've got more things to review than I have fingers right now, because it is Broke-tober's end.
And basically, and holiday...
And holiday buying guide beginning. So we're basically trying to get through as many things to put together a concise, good guide for everybody of sort of what we personally think is going to be, you know, a big seller, something to pick up this year.
Yeah, we'll probably do something as Black Friday approaches. We'll probably do like a 15-minute review roundup of here's stuff for sale, go buy it now.
Yeah, go buy it now. Here's what's going to be big. Here's what's probably going to sell out. That sort of deal, or stuff that just we think is cool.
Yeah, because I know there's like a Target doorbuster with a PS4 and Spider-Man for like $2.99.
Target is actually getting a lot of exclusives, and what I forget which grocery store it is that's taking over the Toys R Us stuff.
Yeah, I know exactly what they're getting, the Jeffrey's toy box,
where it's going to be, but it's only going to be like if there's a new Power Rangers line, it'll be there for a week.
Yeah,
and then they're cycling things out.
So coming up on this week's show, we're going to talk about the surprise Nintendo Direct that dropped, which focused exclusively almost on Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, which comes out on December 7th. We're going to talk about BlizzCon and the exciting announcement we all look forward to.
Diablo fans rejoice or something.
We also have the typical roundup of weird news where if you happen to live in the Antarctic, you're going to get shivved. And I think we have another weird story, do we?
We'll see when we get there.
Yeah, we'll
we do a mystery.
You never know.
You might just hear us go, "We have nothing."
What's weird about that is we just have no weirdness.
Also, for reviews this week, we're going to be taking a look to... Alex took a look at a title I didn't think he'd actually review.
But you know what? Don't ever count me out.
Yeah, because this title can be surprisingly fun. So we're looking at Just Dance 2019.
Correct.
On the PlayStation 4, we're also going to be looking at Teen Titans Go to the Movies from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment, which I had a friggin' blast with. And finally, we're going to look at something I am screaming betrayal at, and that is Nickelodeon Kart Racers, The Less I Say, The Better. So we also have Satan's Pantry as we lead up to Fallout 76 in just a few weeks. And we'll be back right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity.
Well, it's official. I am an old, old man. Just Dance 2019 has come out, and I got the opportunity to review it. And I didn't recognize 90% of the songs on there. So that makes me old, right? Because I consider myself a music connoisseur. It doesn't mean I didn't like the songs. I liked a lot of the songs that were on there, especially, you know, for a dance game. But I was looking at the track listing when I was starting up the game, and I went, I don't know any of these. So it's going to be an adventure, me playing through all of this. I mean, and think about this. Big, big man dancing to dance music in his house, where I would look like a crazy man if people looked into the window. So now, my experience with Just Dance... I haven't played it since probably the Wii days. Like, we're talking back then. And I thought, you know what? Let's give this a go. It's always nice to have a nice rhythm game and a dancing game to go and see how far it's advanced into the modern era. Because it seems to be one of the few rhythm and dance games that have made it and consecutively come out with new releases every single year. Because, really, who doesn't love dance? So, I received a copy on the PS4 to review. And I thought, okay, how is this going to work? I have the camera, like the Move camera, the PlayStation 4 camera, but I thought, okay, well, what are the play modes? So you have the option of using the camera to track your movements, which I went to go do, and then I realized I probably still have it packed away somewhere from when I moved. And I went, yes, I do. I do not know where my camera is. Okay, what's the next option? The second option you can use is if you have the Move controllers. And of course, it'll work better if it works, if you can use it with the camera as well. But if you have those, you know, those Move controllers that have like the ball orbs on top, that'll work just fine. Now, okay, I don't have that. Okay, so is there any other option of how to play this? And surprisingly, I'm like, you don't use your controller. even though the controller has like the motion controls in it, I was like, how does this work? Use your cell phone. And I thought, oh, that's kind of neat, because cell phones probably have a better accelerometer. They have, you know, a lot of other sensors in it, and it allows you to control the screen. I'm like, okay, that'll be pretty cool. So, you know, luckily I have a decent phone. I've got an iPhone, so I was able to take advantage of all the features that come with the motion controls and that. And I logged in, signed up, you know, with my Ubi account, you know, created my avatar. You create a whole character and a profile that can then be shared with friends and people, other people that play the game. And I go, okay, I made my character, logged in, and then it starts you off with a tutorial game. And, you know, surprisingly, it works quite well with your cell phone. I'm sitting there and I'm, you know, turning it. I'm trying to mimic the moves as it goes. And the interesting thing is, especially with the controller, like I'm somebody with some mobility issues, and I thought, okay, will I be able to do this? You know, am I going to like throw my knee out or something? And I thought, okay, with the phone, if you're somebody who has mobility issues and you can't stand up and jump around, you know, for hours on end, which control mode is best? And it looks like this is the best control mode for somebody who has mobility issues that wants to still take part and, you know, get their heart rate going, get some cardio in, because it's going to measure your arm movements more than your leg movements because you're using the phone. So you can stand up and dance, you know, to your heart's content. And then if you get tired or you get a little wobbly because you don't have the best balance or mobility, you can then continue to sit down and continue to actually play using just your arms and keeping your heart rate up that way by doing all the dance moves that way. It'll still register as doing good or great on the screen, but you're not going to, you know, bust your hips up or your legs or anything if you can't do that. So for somebody like, you know, our resident Birdman, who is disabled and can't, you know, can't get up and dance, he can still play this game using just his arms and get his cardio workout in. So I'm definitely going to recommend it to him when I see him next. And for everybody else, you know, the game is fun. The dancing is fun. It's, you know, it's a well-oiled machine, this entire Just Dance gaming franchise. So they keep chugging forward, you know, making slight improvements. I can't tell if this was a huge improvement over the previous year because, you know, like I said, I haven't played since the Wii days. But I can tell you this, this is a fun package, and you slowly unlock more and more songs as you go. And then, of course, there's the option to sign up for extra songs and pay for extra ones. But for what comes with the game, I think it's a pretty good value. And especially, you know, on the PS4 with all the different play modes that you can play. So I would say, you know, if you're a big fan of the series, pick it up. And if not, you know, it is something you might want to get just as a party game for all of your friends and family. Or even, you know, like myself, this is actually a great way for me to get some extra exercise in. So that's Just Dance 2019 from Ubisoft.
Need a new weapon in your battle against evil? Check out LibrisArcana.com for Canada's premier RPG dice subscription service for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping. You can get a new complete set of role-playing dice from D4s to D20s delivered straight to your door. Dice themes are new each month and can be anything your mind can imagine and beyond. Visit LibrisArcana.com and subscribe for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping, and be prepared to open up new worlds of adventure.
News on the march!
Thank you very much, Alan, for that review of Just Dance 2019 on the PlayStation 4. Definitely seems like something I actually might jam to, simply because you did mention the accessibility options in it.
Yeah, and you are a rhythm game guy.
Yeah, I love rhythm games. And the previous Just Dances, I really do enjoy them, because it does give me a look into not just modern music, but maybe music I've maybe missed over the years.
Yeah.
So I'm always pleased with that. And I think Ubisoft does a fantastic job.
And it's been a few years since you were into one of these games, right?
So. Yeah, like the last Just Dance I played, I want to say it was 2017, maybe, was the last one I checked out, maybe 2016. So it's definitely been a few years. And I'm always happy that the Just Dance series is keeping going. It keeps kids moving. You know what? It's what Dance Central should have been in a lot of ways. Dance Central did teach you actual routines and stuff. But this one gets you up and moving and doesn't penalize you for screwing
and
up so much.
I will say one thing. I forgot to mention in my review. When you start the game up, you have the option to select normal mode or kids mode. And
okay.
It changes the gameplay and the songs. So anything that maybe would be
a little
objectionable.
Too. Yeah.
Or and even the dances, the moves they expect you to do are more
simplified,
more in line with like not necessarily Wiggles, but you know, they're not going to expect more complex or things that are risque looking. So it's interesting. There is a specific children's mode.
That is very cool. I'm very glad Ubisoft has kept this series going. It's probably a very easy series to develop for.
It's not even just going. Fun. It's expanding. It's building on its systems.
It's on the 360.
Still?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, 360 and Wii.
Yeah, I've heard people asking for it for the Wii as well.
Yeah, Wii, 360, Wii U, Switch, PS4. The only reason it's not on PS3 is Sony doesn't allow any games to come out on it anymore.
Oh, wow.
And Super Nintendo.
Yes. Well, I was looking, and I kept looking, and I'm going, come on, Ubisoft, give me a Dreamcast copy. You know I want to play it on my Dreamcast. Space Channel, you know, you're not going to make a sequel to that, so.
I'm surprised Sega hasn't. Because I love that series.
But yeah, like I was surprised. It's on everything.
That's pretty awesome. All right, so we're going to break things into the news that is, was, and forever shall be. And this has been a weekend of BlizzCon, Nintendo, and other stuff. Because Alex is actually going to start off the news this week with a story that quietly dropped, yet got people talking.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that pre-ordered the PlayStation Classic, the mini one. When they announced the 5 titles, I didn't care what was going to be released on it simply because I thought I'm into collecting the mini consoles now. And like I just recently picked up the Commodore 64 mini because I'm realizing all these little consoles on my shelf look cool. And sure, you could use like a Raspberry Pi or something and emulate it. But it's something just about having the physical hardware, even if it's...
Yeah, that tangible feeling. It just...
Yeah. And at that point, at least I'm supporting the games. Like it's proving, hey, I would like more of these things released officially. So, they just dropped the final 15 games to be released on the system, and it's been sort of a mixed bag of people saying, hey, you know, why isn't this title included? Why isn't that title included? And I'll list through these here, and I'll explain probably why I think they chose to omit certain ones and keep these ones in.
I think part of it is, like, you can only pick so many games
include. And they're... Sure, storage space is an issue. Like, they're probably, looking at the game list here, they're probably using a 16 gig internal flash memory. They would need
more. I'd argue probably larger. I might venture 30.
A lot of these games are, not that I know how big they are because I've downloaded them before, but a lot of these games are in the 1 to 400 megabyte range of size.
Okay.
Because they don't have to use the full 700 megs for each CD.
Yeah.
Some of them are larger, like Final Fantasy, which was already announced, Final Fantasy VII. It's a 3-disc game, but it uses about 1.2 gigs or so because you have to share data between discs.
Yeah, and it's worth noting that the third disc never really had much on it except for the final cinematics and the final boss.
And it just reused assets from previous.
Exactly.
So you've got Battle Arena Toshinden, which was, I believe, a long box, one of the launch titles on the system. So you got a 3D fighter. Cool. It's an exclusive. That's probably why they wanted it. Cool Borders 2. It's funny, in the States, I was watching a lot of YouTube videos, and they're like, Cool Borders 2? I don't know if it's, like, did nobody play Cool Borders 2 in the States? Because it was popular up here.
Yeah, it was a good game.
I never played it.
It was like, I think...
It's no 1080 snowboarding.
Yeah, 1080 and SSX Tricky became popular, but I mean, Cool Borders 2 was, I think it's that everybody here played it on the demo discs you used to get on PlayStation Magazine. Those. Destruction Derby, never heard of it, but again, that's got to be a game that's only like 50 megabytes. It's got to be fairly small.
Yeah.
FF7, it'll be the big game there, as well as a couple other ones that are coming up. Grand Theft Auto 1.
Which is the top-down one.
Yeah,
there's really
including
not much to it.
Because it's only 100 megabytes, so it's small, but it's a recognizable title. Honestly, I'm not going to play that game very much. I didn't like the first two games. Or London, the spin-off.
I thought they were okay to spend about 15 minutes playing, and then everything else is pretty much the
same. They were fun to screw around in.
But yeah, like I'll play Battle Arena, I'll play Cool Borders, Destruction Derby I'll check out. Intelligent Cube, I've heard of it, a lot of people haven't, I never played it. I know it's a puzzle game.
No idea.
Jumping Flash is a launch title, I believe, or one of the close long box ones. It's a first-person platformer. Sort of. Like
this can only end well.
No, it's actually, it had two games. The third game, it didn't get released here, but it's you're playing basically a robot rabbit, and you're jumping in 3D plane. It came out, I think, before Mario 64, and it platforms fairly well. If you watch any YouTube Let's Plays on it, it looks kind of fun. So I'll check that out. Metal Gear Solid. It'll be interesting how it controls without DualShock. I know it's a game that you didn't require DualShock because...
it predated it by a little bit.
Yeah, like I think it came out around the same time, so you had you couldn't expect everybody to have it.
Most games had support for both around the release of DualShock.
Yeah. Like, do you remember when they, like, and most games had, yeah, support for both play modes, or you had the weird cases where, was it Resident Evil 2 had two versions?
Yes.
You had to buy a separate disc to, if you wanted the DualShock version. You had to buy Director's Cut, I think, to get the DualShock version.
DualShock for Resident Evil 1, when the Director's Cut came out, it was DualShock supported. Resident Evil 2 did have... Two different versions, yes.
Yeah, and they're... That was just crazy. But you got Mr. Driller, which is a fun puzzle sort of game.
Okay.
Oddworld Abe's Odyssey. I'll play that. I never played the Oddworld games.
I've heard good things. It's one of those out there titles like Psychonauts.
The original Rayman. I thought that was only on like 3DO and Jaguar. Mm. But it turns out that it's the 2D, but like the really high res sprites.
Okay.
That think the new Rayman style of games, like the last two that came out. It's that style. It's not the 3D. Everybody remembers the second one. Was it Hoodlum Havoc or is it The Great Escape or whatever?
I can't remember.
There were two of them that were on the N64. People remember those.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the original Rayman. Resident Evil Director's Cut.
So that's a surprising
omission. So you want to see Alex get scared? It'll be about 5 minutes in when I walk through the corridor and the dog jumps to the window and I turn my system off. like when I was 9 years old. Here's a real surprise. Revelations Persona 1.
They're probably trying to hop on that Persona train.
Well, Persona's been cool. They're like, what exclusives do we have? We can't include Persona 2 because it's two separate games. They actually expect you to buy two games to get the full scenario.
Yeah.
And the second one was not released here, I believe, initially. Only on like PSP and that. So it's the original Persona. It's a small game because it uses sprites. Mm-hmm. And it's also a tactical RPG. So I guess if they couldn't get Final Fantasy Tactics, or was it Tactics Ogre, the Ogre Battle sequel? That's probably the best one to go with because it has the most name recognition. There are a lot of other strategy RPGs, but Persona in the last 5 to 10 years has become really popular, especially with Persona 4 and 5 selling mm-hmm. millions of copies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. I was not expecting that, and I'm happy with it. Ridge Racer 4... or Type 4. Ridge Race will be fine. It'll be weird without the analog sticks, but I don't know if that one required them. I probably didn't.
It's going to be interesting to see how it controls.
Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo. So there is a couple Capcom games on here. Puzzle Fighter's cool. Siphon Filter. I never played it.
Good game.
Yeah. Tekken 3, the best choice to go with series.
Yeah.
All right.
Then you got Rainbow Six, which I've also never played. The original.
Weird
choice.
Twisted Metal. Very happy with that.
Likewise, it's not the second one.
But I think they're trying to be representative of...
Here's the origins of all these things that you love.
And then
Rainbow Six Siege people, here's Rainbow Six.
And then Wild Arms, which I'm very happy with. I've played that a couple times, and it's one of the better RPGs to come out early in the system. Now, in Japan, they had more RPGs, obviously.
Parasite Eve.
Parasite Eve, which I've never played but wanted to play.
Amazing.
Saga Frontier, which I've always wanted to play.
Amazing.
There's a few other titles that I would love to get, and I guarantee you this will be hacked within a week.
Oh, yeah.
They always are.
This mess. And then I'll be able to choose which games I want to back up and put on there myself. And it all depends on what storage space they have.
But the problem is, even if you hack it, can you hack in DualShock support?
Depending on what emulator they're using. If it's a... Sony will probably be a homemade emulator versus, I believe, the SNES one was based on...
ZNES?
No, it was based on... Nestopia or one of the other out there ones. Like the code was very similar. This is probably going to be from ground up. It won't be like knowing Sony and the resources they have. But I don't care if I can include the Japanese games. Like if I can include the games that were on the Japanese version, it'll be great. It'll depend on storage. If we're lucky, it's got a 32 gig thing on there and we've got like 10 gigs free. If it's not, it'll be a 16 because there's no way you could fit 8 gigs on there with all these games. So if it's a 16, you'll probably have 4 gigs free, and that'll be enough to add the Japanese games. Now, as to why they're not including DualShock, this doesn't have DualShock support. My belief is...
Cost.
Is no.
Really? You don't think so?
No, because the cost on that... If they're already making this $100, you're telling me if they included DualShock and a bunch of other DualShock games, that they couldn't have charged $150 for this? And made it 30 games, 10 of which are DualShock, and included two DualShock controllers? people would have paid $150.
Oh, I would have.
Yeah. So what I think they're going to do is they're going to go, hey, this sold really well this year. We're going to bring out the PS1, the small white one.
PS1.
And the PS1 was only DualShock when it came with. Hmm. So then we'll get a second set of 20 games with DualShock support. So that's where you're going to get your Final Fantasy 9, or you're going to get Resident Evil 2, Final Fantasy 9. You'll get probably a couple more RPGs. You'll get a lot of obscure or an end of game.
You know what surprised me was not on this collection initially? Parappa the Rapper.
Surprising now, unless
and Gex.
Gex surprised me, but does that signal a new Parappa game coming out? Because people were saying, why isn't there any Crash? Well, we've got the Crash trilogy came out. Why would they want to dip into the sales there when for $100 you could get Crash this way, or they want you to spend your $50, $60 to get the collection?
Yeah, go get the insane trilogy and then come.
Well, Spyro is the other big one. Why is there no Spyro? Well, there's not going to be a Spyro because we've got a brand new remastered Spyro. Same with Medieval. Look, we got a Medieval title coming out this year. They've already announced it and shown off the footage. So anything that's being highly remastered is not coming out. And, people are like, where's Legend of Dragoon? That's a DualShock only game. You can't control the character with
just the stick. You
need the DualShocks to control things around there. So they have enough first party titles to release a second set, especially if they want to do, they would, not to confuse people, they wouldn't put it out in the same form factor. It would be the PS1.
They'll name it something very recognizable and obviously different from the original one. Keep the $99 price point, but have it completely separate from the other.
So instead of charging you $150 for this with extra games with DualShock,
get two systems for $100 each.
Exactly. So, and I don't have a problem with that if it means, instead of getting 30 games, we end up with 40 total.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not really, that necessarily against the consumer. It's just.
Yeah. And here's the thing, because they don't have as many systems. They can't do a SNES Classic. They can't do a PS2. To get the computing power to be able to run that, you would be looking at a $200 system just to get it to run. So,
and half of that, you might as well just go get a used PS2 that's still running. Yeah.
Or they may as well, at that point, figure out how to shrink that onto a single board chip at this point and release a basically new old hardware.
So, see, I'd buy a mini PS2, especially if it's the one that stood up.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they do that, but that's probably 4 or 5 years down the line.
Yeah.
Or depending on, because we've got those, FXPE chips or whatever they're called? They're the ones that, have you seen the Super Nintendo and the original Nintendo that are done by, what's that company called? Analog?
Yeah.
And they put out the,
the Retron system?
No, not the Retrons. They're like an NES that's like $300.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
They're like completely made out of metal. What they use is hardware emulation, not software emulation. So it's a CPU that's configured to run identical to the original hardware.
Huh.
So every single game will run. It's like, oh, that game has a weird mapper chip. It'll work because it works identical to the original hardware, but then also outputs to 1080p and all this.
Interesting.
There's a couple other. You can look it up. They're doing one for the Genesis coming out. Now, it takes a while to program those chips, but there's multi ones that are like 32-bit, 64-bit. So you could, with a couple of those chips, emulate everything that's in a PS2. But when you get past the PS1 generation,
it gets more complicated.
There's more chips involved. Mm-hmm. It's more RAM, more complications. So you end up with a $200 system. So I think the farthest you can go would be a Dreamcast.
Not even GameCube?
No, GameCube is... Well, the GameCube is basically a Dreamcast with extra...
Dreamcast Plus.
With GameCube, Nintendo just released their GameCube controller adapters for the Switch, for Smash Brothers Ultimate.
So they're
However,
release,
that's going to unlock a lot of potential for GameCube emulation.
Basically, the way these mini consoles are going to work, it's going to probably cover everything up until 1999. Anything beyond that, and the games are new enough that they want to release them on modern hardware remastered.
Yeah, they've got other plans. So,
and the Dreamcast people would buy. But I was saying, just going back to this list, I think it's a decent list. It's probably the best they could do with the licensing. It looks like one or two titles per big publisher.
Mm-hmm.
The big surprise was that they got Konami on board.
But there's no Symphony of the Night.
No, because...
Licensing.
They're putting out a remastered version of it now.
Oh, right, yeah, and it sucks because the voice cast is different.
It's the PSP version or whatever, yeah. And so they've got that. But you've got them, Capcom, now no Street Fighter, but Puzzle Fighter.
Yeah, that's a little strange. But so, then again, Capcom fighters on the PlayStation 1 hardware never ran good to begin with.
No. So,
and though that, Street Fighter Alpha 3 would have been nice, but once again, DualShock.
And that's why people are saying, you know, Sega, you got your you got your Sega Classic coming out in the spring now that they revamped it, the Genesis one.
Mm-hmm.
Get us a Dreamcast, because then we're going to get hardware perfect.
Yeah, because you could get Marvel vs. Capcom 2. You could put Soul Calibur.
What I would want is a Saturn, because then we could finally get Panzer Dragoon Saga, the $500 game, because it, you know, there's not really any other way to play it unless you buy original hardware, because emulation for
it's not perfect for
the Saturn isn't perfect, but if they handle it in-house.
Right.
So Nintendo, you know, we'll get an N64 Classic. We know we will.
Yeah.
And that'll be a year, maybe 2 years on the line. I wouldn't be surprised if they wanted to do a second SNES Classic or something else out there with more games, but because they could. They could shrink it down and give it that. Remember that revision version they had? Because the biggest mistake would be releasing two systems that look identical.
Yes.
Yeah. Give so, me the dog bone.
Yeah, version. Will we get a dog bone NES? Will we get the micro version? Remember they did that lighter version in 95 or 96? Yeah. The one that was bundled with
the one that looked Mario like World Famicom? 2.
No, the Super Nintendo that was bundled with Mario...
World 2. Yeah.
Where the purple buttons and the rounded buttons.
Yeah.
Give us that and then give us another 20 games.
Yeah.
So and people will be willing to pay the kind of money for it.
People love classic games. There's a triple huge graphics. Market for it.
Give me all the Bonk games and a few of the shooters.
You'll see those show up on a Nintendo because they hold the license to that
Neo
now.
Neo Geo.
Well, actually, there's a Neo Geo Pocket or something.
The mistake they made is the Neo Geo is, here's a bunch of classic games on a mini arcade cabinet that you can have like output to your TV. No, people want a mini Neo Geo home console.
The feeling of, oh, I have this console.
Yeah, we don't want the trinket that looks like the arcade.
Yeah, don't be cute. Be
and yeah, also be in touch with what the gamer collector wants. It's over $200 in Canada.
Oh, that's a prohibitive price point. Yeah. You need to have it at that 100 or lower, people aren't going to be interested.
Don't charge me what it costs to get the original cartridges for the system.
So moving on to our next story, kind of keeping with video games, there was a Nintendo Direct this past week and focusing specifically on Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and they revealed a couple of new characters. First is an Echo Fighter, which means basically it's based upon an existing character with a few different characteristics, and that's
If you're familiar, sorry to cut you off. The Echo character, the best example I can think of is Captain Falcon and Ganondorf. They're essentially, they have the same
movesets,
but they're tweaked. So they identify as separate and interesting characters that have distinction, but you can tell they're based on the same idea.
So is the idea they have the same weight and the same movement feeling?
The same style.
Same physics.
Yeah. Ganondorf is heavier than Captain Falcon and slower, but his moves are essentially the same with a charge punch and a knee dash, that sort of thing.
Okay.
So this one very much surprised me. I'm so happy because this is my main in Street Fighter 4 and Street Fighter 5, Ken. He moves a little bit faster.
I thought you were going to say Dan.
Actually, I'm not bad with Dan.
No, but how great would it be if Dan was in there?
So give him time.
Maybe he's an assist trophy. I don't know. What
I just want
it could
see
be a reskin.
I just want to see him pretend to punch and then laugh as he runs away.
We also got Pokemon, I think Sun and Moon is Incineroar, which is based upon a pro wrestler.
I saw that, I was like, who's this clown? And I'm like, it's a pro wrestler Pokemon? Yep. Yes, I'm down.
Yep.
If he does the Daniel Bryan yes, then that's my new main. I'm done.
No, I want him to slap his arms like Hulk Hogan and then wait for, and, you know, try to hear the audience. Drop that leg.
We shall see.
But yeah, he's supposed to be, he looks fun. I actually watched a little bit of gameplay with him. And then this was a surprise to me. A piranha plant.
But that one's not coming right away.
Not coming right away. Probably in the next few months.
And you notice they have that DLC package for it?
Yeah, the Fighter's Pass.
So it's basically $5 off if you buy the Season's Pass.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm going to do it as soon as it's available.
Also, so it's... Technically, they said it's going to take about a year to release them, but it's 6 fighters because you get one for free. They said if you buy the game new, it'll be new within the first so many months, probably till after Christmas.
Yeah, I think you have until the end of January.
They'll give you 2 months or whatever to do it. Now, if you do that, the way that works out is a new character every 2 months because it'll be 6 new characters over the course of a year.
Although there was a big fake leak list that was revealed and deconfirmed a lot of characters, which is unfortunate, but There is still hope because of DLC characters.
You're telling me there's no Daytona race car like in Fighters Megamix?
I want, if I picked one character out of that list that was revealed, or sorry, that was deconfirmed, I want Geno from yes. Super Mario RPG.
Yes.
No, I want Mallow.
Or
come
Mallow.
On.
I would take either
Mallow
or.
Would be great. One of the most popular characters that's still awaiting their invitation to the Smash tournament is Waluigi. There's a huge community following for Waluigi now, and they want to see him in Smash. He's in every other Mario-based title now, the sports games, tennis, etc., but he still has no presence in Smash Brothers.
He would be such an easy Echo Fighter, too.
Well, they've already got
Piranha
Cloud.
Plant make it in there without Waluigi.
I was going to say, they got Cloud, right?
Yeah.
Yes. They don't have Sephiroth, but that would be cliched. If they were going to introduce another Final Fantasy character, they should introduce Vivi from Final Fantasy IX, the little black mage.
Yes,
because it would be a contrast. You got this big hulking brute in Cloud with a big sword, and then you got a magic user, and he could play like a Pokemon, or he could play like any of the small characters, and he'd be cute as hell, and everybody would want him. Everybody would go, "Oh my God, Vivi!"
Yeah, they'd be creaming their pants. Handling a little bit like Zelda, not with the Zelda Sheik combo, mm-hmm. but just Zelda with her spells and ranged attacks.
So, or go here's why don't they only have one character from the Xenoblade Chronicles. They got Shulk from the first game, which almost nobody played on the original Wii. Why didn't they introduce one of the characters from the Switch game, which sold more than the last two games combined?
Give it time. Yeah. It'll be one of the DLC characters, I assure you.
They have such a...
Because it's first party.
A nearly unlimited roster to choose from. Yeah. There's so much potential.
And I think part of the reason was this was already obviously in development well after like that November of last year when the game came out. So there's no reason, like, they didn't expect the game to sell a million copies in the U.S., which it did. Like, people don't realize most RPGs sell, JRPGs sell in, like, the 100,000 range in the States. And when this sells 10 times that, it opens up people's minds to be like, hey, maybe we should use these characters.
One thing that surprised me...
Because it could be an Echo Fighter, even.
Yeah.
One thing that surprised me, and not from a character point of view, we get a full story campaign again.
Yes.
World of Light.
RPG-ish in elements where you level up your character's abilities.
The whole concept being that everybody's dead.
Except for Kirby.
which, again, talk about extending his character, because that game was kind of short initially, and it's like they're getting new life out of Kirby by bringing him in here. Because
it
kind of
feels... I feel like I can feel the essence of Kirby Superstar.
Yeah.
That especially that one where the mode where it was the RPG mode, where you're collecting treasure and then you fight bosses that have HP.
Exactly.
Because really, that's all like Smash characters have. It's just
HP.
It's HP, except it counts up in damage instead of down.
And there is an HP mode that's been around for a long time that could easily just port over to this mode and have it be based on life remaining instead of damage accumulated.
So you've got that. And also, with the characters, you're also getting new musics, they said, and then new levels.
New levels.
So
and, like, character
there's a
packs.
Fair bit, like the DLC. So they're gonna get, like, let's say you got the regular base game for $80, another 25-ish or so for.
Who cares at that point?
Big deal. When this is going to be a game that people probably play, because you only get one per system.
Yeah. So this is the life system.
This is the game that'll last you 5 years.
And there's a Switch bundle which.
It's already out now.
I want. I'm
not
going to
It's already out now. It comes with a download code that'll go active on the 7th of December.
And you can preload it now, supposedly.
Well, you activate it, but it'll register as you having it pre-ordered.
Yeah. It'll
I've
probably
done that
download
before.
A significant portion of the code, but missing a certain section that'll completely
It's going to miss the executable.
Exactly.
But all the game pack data will be there.
Like, another thing that kind of surprised me with this is just how good the hardware looks for this. Like, because I didn't expect the Switch to be one of those systems that would be vanity, but then again, they do it with every console, like
Nintendo,
3DS.
Well, Nintendo are king of vanity.
Well, the easy way to do it is with the it's just a hunk of plastic with a port replicator on it.
Yeah.
So they charge $60 for those things, and it's maybe $10 worth of technology in it.
I can't imagine how much this is going to go on the secondary market. Like, people like me who got the original launch Switch.
Dude, people wanted the Xenoblade Chronicles 2 Pro Controller that had the stripe through it.
Yeah.
Because it had a better D-pad. Hmm. Well, they don't realize is every D-pad since then has been the new one. So when
But
you go,
they want that vanity.
Because it's the only vanity one. So it sells regularly for $200 on Amazon, eBay, everything. But again, the controller's $90 new. But it still sells for double because people want that. they don't want the Splatoon one that had a slightly different color to it.
Yeah.
You know, they want the one that has the stripe. Just like people are going to want the controller that comes with the bundle.
Yeah.
People aren't going to really care as much about their dock except to have it in an extra room, but they want their controllers. Like, yes. Why do you think it's $50 for people to buy aftermarket controller mods that make them purple?
It's true, yeah.
See-through purple. I would like to turn my controller into a N64-looking controller.
That see-through purple was iconic, and it sticks with you for life.
I want that jungle green see-through.
What's the thing? Oh, yeah. I'm past my 1 year on my initial console. Like, we're approaching almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
So, I bought a pro controller, a new one that has the new D-pad that I use as my main. And I put
I have the new D-pad?
No, you wouldn't.
I got it last December.
Yeah, so it wouldn't have been.
Fuck.
It might have been. I'll bring my controller and we'll feel it one time. It does feel a little different how it rocks.
Okay.
It's a little better, is the best way to put it, in quotes.
It's not
hard to explain better.
And I'll bring it next time because I've got a red silicone cover on it so I can differentiate because they're the same color. I would I'll take my original controller, now that the warranty's up, and buy one of those sets when I have extra cash. And they're all in the original colors that you could get the see-through N64s. You can get one for your system, but I'd be a little hesitant about doing the system that way.
Yeah, I don't think I feel
But
confident.
A controller, I don't have an issue modding, because if it stops working, I'm like, well, fuck. But but then I've got another controller.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't mind getting that atomic purple and making a controller look like that.
I'm debating. I really want... See, you guys know I'm a fighting game guy.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm a controller guy.
So you want the Hori controller? A $200 Hori. Hey, you know what? I've reached out to them. They don't need us. No, it's not they don't need us. They are not doing it. They flat out, I got a response saying they're not doing it for anybody.
I'm not surprised.
Literally, they said, you know, we don't have any products to give out to anybody at this time. Basically, they know the controller sells itself.
My guess is they'll give it to Kotaku because why not?
They'll sponsor
Shoryuken.
Well, but even then, they might not. They might just.
They'll give it to the fighting game community.
Well, they'll go to Evo and stuff and sponsor it by putting the controllers there. So you'll be able to use them, and the public will be able to use them, and word of mouth will spread. They don't need it. Plus, it is a large piece of hardware for them to be given out to reviewers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so it's one of those things where you keep an eye on it. It's like, one of these days, it's going to drop to like 120, and then it's in the price point where it's like, yeah, I should snatch it up.
You know, probably a good idea now, because even though I don't really need it.
There are other ones in the $100 price point, but they're not... arcade ready. They're good. Like, they'll have very little latency, but you need to have no latency or have an option to wire it in directly. And usually they have one or the other. It has,
like, one of the things I really want is I want those GameCube adapters, because I still have my Wave Birds, and as far as I know, that'll still work.
If it's GameCube compatible, there are third party companies releasing them too.
Although my favorite third party controller was a GameStop one, but mine wasn't tournament legal because it had a turbo function that I could hit by accident.
But if you notice the adapters, they have two USB things that they use. You only need to have one plugged in. The other one, I thought it was just to power the controllers. No, it's to it gives rumble capability, so it does give extra power. But if you don't have it plugged in, you can still have your four controllers. And so if you had other ports occupied, it doesn't matter. So that's just something to keep in mind, that it does support rumble through it.
Hmm.
Which sometimes, you know, that can be iffy when you're going generation to generation. So, I don't know.
Do you have Smash pre-ordered or just me?
You do. My brother does.
And got it pre-ordered.
I don't have it pre-ordered. I'm trying not to pre-order things anymore.
My roommate does, so I will be able to play it regardless. I've thought about it. I had the Pokemon pre-ordered with the Pokeball, and then I thought, I'm not going to use the Pokeball really.
But that, and you can resell that.
But I found out they're producing millions of those things. They're not going to run out, because like my local EB, I said, how many do you have? They said, oh, we're told we're not stopping pre-orders on it.
Oh, wow.
Like, they're going to have 50 or 100 per store. So it's not going to be, because it's such a small device. The bundles, they're going to run out. People are going to sell the bundles, but I'm going to be the guy that beats Pokemon and then sells the game, and then I'm stuck with a...
Here's a piece of hardware that you're not doing anything with.
Use that isn't going to be scarce.
Yeah.
So I canceled my pre-order on the Pikachu bundle because they didn't have any Eevee bundles.
And then they
pre-ordered the normal edition Eevee for me because that's what I wanted in the first place.
Yeah.
I used the credit to then get that Commodore 64. So I'm going to be playing around with that too soon.
See, I want the Pokeball because I do play Pokemon Go quite a bit, and so it's an accessory that speaks to me, and I'm going to keep the game because, well, I collect games.
I thought if I haven't played Pokemon Go yet, I'm probably not.
No.
I'm that one guy that hasn't.
And this game is basically designed to draw people from Pokemon Go into the regular Pokemon Core franchise.
So in the future, if it doesn't work with other games, then I'll just pick up a Pokeball later.
Yeah.
And this way I get to feed into my whole collecting mini consoles habit that I've got.
It works.
So, I mean, it's that's basically the only pre-order I have.
Yeah. Another reason I haven't pre-ordered Super Smash Brothers is it comes out on the 7th of December, which is 3 days after my birthday. So I've dropped a few hints here and there, and it's probably on its way to me anyway.
Good. I'm looking for... Actually, I'm going to think, do I have you added on my Switch?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, yeah. Good. Because we have to kick the fuck out of each other.
Yes.
And here's the thing, I will play. Like, there's a possibility... You know, I'll reach out to Nintendo. Maybe we can get a copy for review. Maybe not. Probably not.
Probably not. Probably not.
That is
Nintendo.
It's not Nintendo. That's
just Smash Brothers Ultimate. Yeah. This game is selling itself.
No, and that's literally, you know, when it came to Mario Party, I had asked about that too, and they're like, Nintendo is like, it's Mario Party. That's literally what the PR said. We'd love to give it to you, but it's Mario Party, and they already know it's going to sell.
This brand is so strong that it does not need reviews.
There are a few titles that they're not going to give out copies to anybody.
Because it makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, like you might get a Kotaku that gets a copy. They might have like five
IGN
codes.
Or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be IGN, that, maybe reviews in the run will get a copy.
Top 30 reviewers just so they can get a Metacritic score.
Well, it was a Toad Treasure Tracker, I heard, only got like 10 copies in Canada.
That's weird.
That's Canada, though.
Yeah.
So.
Whereas when we got Donkey Kong, they were giving out copies. So it all depends on what's going on. But I would like to play it. I just don't know how competitive I would be because I've been out of the game for so long.
When I play Smash, and this is my preface to both of you, I play tournament rules, which means I only play with Final Smash Ball on, five stocks, which is five lives.
No, five lives.
And then pick
Final Destination.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or Final Destination. Like, all right, let's go, motherfucker.
You know. Okay. I'll say one thing before we probably wrap up the story on this. I do like that they're making you unlock all the characters.
Yes, I like that progression.
Hold on a second. You can't pay to unlock, which is great. But what I like is it encourages playing with all the characters that you get stock. Because that way...
It makes you learn other characters. You're not
overwhelmed. They're using this, it's on purpose, as an entry point for a lot of people that haven't played or haven't played since the N64 era.
Yeah. Imagine walking into Super Smash for the first time and you see 74 choices
in front of you. Or 50 on the screen, and then you have alternates that you swap between. It's like, it's too much.
Yeah. What do I do? How do I do this?
It's not all the same. They pointed out it's not the same characters you got on N64. It's the same amount of characters you start with.
Yeah.
So that...
It'll be all unlocked via the World of Light mode for sure.
No, right? It'll be probably...
And playtime.
Yeah, it'll be playtime. There'll probably be like beat the tournament mode and you get your first character.
Yeah, again, 100 kills in this mode. Here's a character. Here's your challenge.
I would be willing to bet 50% of them are from the light mode, and then the rest will be through gaming feats. If they're smart, they won't make you play tournament modes or anything online to win.
Yes.
No. Because there'll be too many kids that can't
skill
do
gap.
It. Yeah,
skill
it's
gap
just, it's just
is,
too much.
And having to pay for the online service.
Now they may make a few that you have to play multiplayer local.
Yes.
Do it.
Yeah.
At which point we'll
rack up so many matches.
Do each other to get those.
But they can't make ones where it's online tournament. It's too much for kids to do.
Oh,
and this is...
Although I do like the way they're setting up online tournaments where you can only compete against people of same skill level. I like that.
Yeah, that's borrowed from Mario Tournament Aces, I believe.
Like, I'm going to need to retrain because I've been out of the Smash game for years.
So, I mean, it's going to be worth checking out. Even for me, I'm not really a big fighter guy. But
that's the great thing about Nintendo. This is an accessible fighter with enough depth.
It has such a skill ceiling.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And they like, Alex, we have an RPG mode. And I'm like, oh, damn it.
But let's talk about another big story.
Yes.
This one broke specifically with Tristan. He's like, can Blair pick me up so I can watch?
Yes, the BlizzCon opening ceremonies happened at an uncomfortable time for me as I was still at work. And directly after the opening ceremonies is always the big reveal for the year for BlizzCon. This year has been hyped up as a huge release for Diablo, which is my favorite Blizzard franchise, along with other thousands of fans around the world. and we've all been hyped up to expect something huge. Originally, we were expecting Diablo 4, because that's the next installation in the Diablo series. So hype was building around that. A lot of theories were flying around, conspiracy theories, put on your tinfoil hats. And the community manager came out and told us to temper our expectations. Yes, there are multiple projects in the works. Yes, we are working on a Diablo next project, but it's not going to be revealed at BlizzCon this year. So kind of rein it in a little bit. So we did. We lowered our expectations, and everything kind of started to center around a remaster for Diablo 2. Blizzard's been doing remasters for Warcraft 3, which was just announced at BlizzCon this year. That's the good news from BlizzCon. StarCraft and Brood War originally, that was done not that long ago. So yep. We were expecting, hey, Diablo 2 is probably right there. What we got was Diablo Immortal, which is a mobile game, which is essentially a reskin of a game that already exists from a company called NetEase, who has been rather disliked on the global community as they are microtransaction hell.
And I feel so bad for you, man.
Everyone is agape. We are completely just shocked at how bad this announcement was. It was hyped up to be this incredible thing. They said it's a great time to be an ARPG fan. It's a great time to be a Diablo fan. And we all got this shit touted to us as if it was this golden god of gaming.
And you feed me more shit.
They're so delusional about it. They wouldn't take any criticism.
The response on Twitter has been weird.
Were they oddly Bethesda about it? It's basically Bethesda, or what was the guy
EA?
The guy that was in charge of the Xbox One that got fired after E3.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was talking down to the fans.
Essentially, they did some of that. It's a convention that attracts a lot of hardcore PC gamers. Because Blizzard games are generally on PC.
And by PC, you don't
not politically correct gamers. Far from it, in fact. But
computer sucks cocks in hell.
And they announce a mobile title that nobody's interested in. They got booed on stage at their own event, convention.
People had to pay to go to see.
People were flying in from around the world and buying these tickets because they were expecting something huge for Diablo 2. They were excited and they got shit on.
You know what would have been nice?
They're pissed.
A new single-player Quake.
Sure.
Or they're not Quake, are they?
No.
Oh,
but
shit.
Still,
sorry.
Why not? Just
Overwatch.
That would have been better.
Me not being the PC gamer, I thought QuakeCon. Sorry.
Still, announcing a Quake at BlizzCon would have gone over better than this.
You know what would have been probably better?
At least it was an Overwatch.
If they
character.
Said for the Switch, we're going to release that
Lost Vikings.
No, not
that?
Lost Vikings. What was the game that they canceled? That was the
StarCraft Ghost.
Not Ghost. I'm talking the one with
Titan.
No.
It was Titan that became Overwatch.
Oh, no. There was a Warcraft game.
Okay.
That was a point-and-click adventure that they canceled between the second game and the third game.
That would have been
cool. And it had, like, full FMV, you know, like
excuse me, princess.
Yes, it was like that. And they canceled it, and it was done.
But that
would have been hilarious
thing.
If they released that.
That's the difference between Blizzard from then and Blizzard from now. They've probably realized once the community was talking about how bad it would be if they released a mobile game at BlizzCon this year, they realized, oh crap, well, we are doing a mobile game, but they just went full steam with it anyway because they need
to
dive into those markets in a lot of areas where mobile gaming is popular.
The company is old enough now that 90% of their staff are either senior.
It's all corporate.
I was going to say, 90% of their staff that were programmers or even creative people are either retired. Senior let go, started their own companies.
Yeah.
You probably have maybe 10% of the staff you had in 1998.
Blizzard is very storied as having let go.
Two or three games. And it was the same core team that canceled that. They would cancel a game, we're going to wait till it's ready, not like Duke Nukem. They're like, it's done, but it's not to our standards. We're just never going to release it.
Yeah, Titan was canceled because of that. It became Overwatch because Overwatch used some resources that Titan had.
Yeah.
It was essentially not done, but it was functional.
Yeah.
But they didn't like it, so they canceled it. And that's what Blizzard used to be.
Yeah.
They would wait. They would wait and they would wait. Well, and they pioneered the phrase, soon, TM. Because Blizzard was a company
delivered.
That was willing to wait until a product was perfect before they would release it.
That was BioWare before they were bought up.
Exactly.
Do you remember when there was a time where the high standard for cinematics for games were three companies. You had your Square Enix for your Japanese games,
yeah,
for CG. But even before they were putting out stuff, look at what Blizzard was doing, and then what BioWare was doing for scripted promos and all that stuff. Specifically, Blizzard, even before Final Fantasy VII, I think it was they had full cinematics for the first Warcraft game.
Yeah,
Warcraft
2. Every single game. And then, Warcraft, StarCraft, Diablo, fully cinematic.
Look at the World of Warcraft intro that came out. That was miles beyond what anybody else was doing at the time, except
Blizzard
for Square.
Has been famous for their cinematics for the longest time. They haven't exactly aged well.
No, well, World of Warcraft's pretty good still.
World of Warcraft is holding up, and they keep advancing the technology for World of Warcraft. But
even looking at the original trailer for it for 15 years ago was pretty good.
If you go back to the cinematics for, say, the original StarCraft, they aren't what
they're rough.
They're not as good as you remember them being.
No, but their voice acting was better than anybody else.
Exactly. They were believable. They were invested in the world. You could tell that was some actual quality put into it.
Playing basically, whenever they came out with a game, it was the best in the genre that was available.
Yeah, and they were always striving to make it even better. They would release it and they would patch it, and they would strive to maintain the balance of it. They would fix issues. They would put up quality of life changes. And they were very good at doing that in a fairly timely manner.
Warcraft 3, and I probably will play this reforged edition.
Absolutely. Warcraft 3 was such an iconic game. It gave birth to an entire genre of games.
Couple
MOBAs. MOBAs exist because of Warcraft 3.
MOBAs and tower defense.
Exactly. StarCraft those custom game modes.
StarCraft 2 had some tower defense. That's sort of where the origin was.
Yeah, StarCraft Brood War and all the custom games there had some tower defense stuff. But really, Warcraft was where a lot of this was born.
So you've got two genres that came out of fan community mods for a game.
Because people love playing it so much.
These are billion-dollar industries that were created from a random game.
Because a few people got together and said, okay, well, here we have this ability to make these custom modes, and they had these elaborate tools built into the game that allowed you to set custom triggers and custom events, and it made it is now.
Worldwide esports.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it
Born out of StarCraft.
Here's the thing. You'd have FIFA tournaments, but there'd be nothing else. FIFA and Madden.
Maybe Unreal, maybe.
But the industry basically started because of StarCraft.
Yeah. That's where the big money started to come in, where you started to have these arenas in Korea just filled with hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
There's a storied history behind that company.
And now, because of all the years of attrition that Blizzard's gone through and its merger with Activision, it's become all about the shareholders, as many large companies do. And instead of being a game for Diablo that has the consumer in mind, that has the Diablo fan in mind, it's about tapping a new market that other companies are failing to tap.
Yeah.
For example, League of Legends has failed to tap into the new mobile thing, so they're starting to flounder a little bit here and there. They're still widely popular, but because they haven't hit the mobile scene like, say, Fortnite has, they're missing some markets. Japan, for example. And this is what this new game is tailored to, is getting into these mobile markets so they can expand and keep growing. So it's about the bottom line. The problem is, they announced this game at BlizzCon to a crowd of people that doesn't care about mobile at all.
Yeah, the true hardcore of hardcore gaming.
If they had announced this at Gamescom, no one would be this mad.
No.
Yeah, no one would care.
Tokyo Game Show.
There you go. There's a lot of perfect opportunities to announce a game like this, and people would be like, oh, well, you know, that's not for me. But I'm fine with that. That can be for whoever it is for. But you build up the hardcore Diablo fans' expectations and then release a product that's not actually for them.
And this is
them.
The second mobile game this year that has gotten this type of an blowback, because you think back to E3 and EA, where they announced Command & Conquer Fuck You Edition. And that crowd
that's EA, right?
Yeah,
and people are remembering that. They're harkening back to that happening, basically saying Diablo's just dead now.
There's nothing wrong with those games. It's when you're getting those games instead of something else.
Yes, and that's what
we
feel
like
right
now. Hey, we've got this.
That's all they should be.
And we've got this for when you're on the go.
Exactly. Here's your mobile game, whatever, but here's our big announcement. That's what everyone was expecting. When they started talking about mobile, everyone was kind of waiting and waiting for the other reveal.
If it had been, hey, this game supplements it, or hey, you can play this game
Diablo Mobile and it enhances Diablo 4.
Whatever you get, the loot you collect in this can be brought into the main game.
People would roll their eyes, but that would be the end of their problems.
But even then, they might not roll their eyes if it's like, hey, when you're on the go, you can do some extra side missions that reveal extra parts of the story that aren't essential, but...
Yeah, something that builds on
If they are trying to get in... China's a weird market to get into. They pretty much only play their own games that they've developed there.
Yeah.
But with Japan being such a big mobile country, the thing with Japan is they're very into legacies. So it's all about, they go with tradition. So like the reason they buy Nintendo games, why do they buy Dragon Quest games? They'll close up schools to open when the new games come out because it's a tradition to just, everybody goes and buys it.
Mm-hmm.
If they're trying to break into that market, it's easier to do it with a Diablo game, which has a storied history that they may not have played them before, but they know this is like the fourth or fifth game in the series. It's a very revered game in America. For them, they'd rather get onto a series that has a storied legacy than just a new property from America. They'll be like, fuck you, we can make something better.
You can see that in what the details are for this Diablo Immortal game. What they talked about is how it builds on a lot of the stories of the characters that you like between Diablo 2 and Diablo 3. So it's all about unveiling new stories for these people and unveiling new tales that you've never seen before in Sanctuary, but the entire time the audience is just booing and rolling their eyes. And someone got into the Q&A. They pre-screened the Q&A sessions. Someone lied about what question they were going to ask. When they got to the front of the line, they said, is this just an off-season April Fool's joke? To which the crowd cheered very enthusiastically.
Well, it's going to be one of those things where they're probably hoping that in the Asian market this breaks in, that then can sell their legacy titles. Because I would be willing to bet that Diablo on the Switch will sell better than every previous game that they've released in Japan. Because Japan has not been a PC-heavy country since the days of the MSX and 8-bit PCs. Mm-hmm. They've been a very console-heavy country since the 80s. So what other titles have they released on console there? Like, yeah, sure, they've released Diablo on the PS3 and PS4, but I can see the mobile tendencies of the country, they're going to want the Switch. They're going to want this. So they're probably hoping this mobile game will get people to play and go, oh, shit, I can pay 40, you know, equivalent, 40 or 50 equivalent dollars and get the get the Switch game, which honestly didn't cost them much probably to port it.
No, they already had the console technology there. They just needed to tweak it.
So, I mean, here's my question to you, final question on this. Would it have been better if they had just announced Diablo 3 or on mobile?
I would argue, yeah. I feel like it would be less of a slap in the face. Like, it would still be pretty anger-inducing.
But it's still not Skyrim levels of being done over and over and over again.
One of the major things people are upset about is the game isn't really all that new and creative. It is a reskin of a game that already exists. I don't recall the name of the game, but it's been compared. They've done shot-for-shot comparisons, and it is a reskin.
That's terrible.
They Mario 2'd it.
That's a terrible way to treat such a revered property, too.
It was one of the few truly like American titles that had.
It was the American dungeon crawler.
Well, the thing is, it's never faltered until now. Like, you could say, oh, it's been released a couple times. Diablo, the games get remastered. Yeah,
Diablo 3 started off pretty rough, but Wyatt Cheng, the game director of Diablo, turned it around and turned it into a game that's now playable. But the problem is now he's the one who's touting this new mobile game at the same time, so we all feel very betrayed.
Well, the new mobile game looks like, what's that title that was the knockoff that was on mobile and PC and every other platform? It was
Dungeon Keeper?
It was not Dungeon Keeper. It's another Dungeon in the title, but it was from a discount company.
Yeah.
And it was on the PS3, and it was on the Vita, and it was on everything, and it was just a Diablo clone. I'll look it up some other time, but it looks like that. It looks like a clone of the game, not the actual franchise.
It does, and they announced, we're upset.
For the rest of it, they announced like some extra characters for, what was it?
Overwatch got a nice new
Hearthstone, short. And then...
Hearthstone had some new expansion coming out.
Something of the Storm or something.
Heroes of the Storm has... I don't recall actually what Heroes of the Storm got because I wasn't
Yay, more
well
DLC
enough.
Cards and other crap, right?
I have to laugh a bit at the Overwatch character. The name is Ashe, spelled exactly the same as it is in League of Legends, A-S-H-E. So it feels almost uninspired, but the character looks interesting.
Yeah,
so.
She looks cool.
And isn't there a robot butler or something?
That's part of the universe there, but it's not a playable character in Overwatch. So.
Oh, see, I
want one of those, but I guess we technically have with Zenyatta, so.
Sort of.
Yeah, because he's a
robot. I've tried playing it. Those aren't my style of games. Then again, I'm not a streamer, and I do want to get into streaming, but I got to find the game that appeals to me.
Yeah.
So I might be that weird streamer that's like, let's play a JRPG for 12 hours straight. Maybe you'll watch me play, and if you don't,
if you're
fuck off, because I'm going to play it anyway.
If you're entertaining enough, I'm starting to get into streaming now, and that's the biggest thing, is can you talk to yourself for 12 hours?
By entertaining enough, does that mean, like, pull my dick out in camera?
No, that means getting banned from Twitch very quickly.
Well, fine. Fuck that.
You can be a different kind of streamer if you do that.
Oh, God.
That's a chatterbaiter.
Oh, God. That'd be hilarious. It's like Mr. Tristopher and Mike the Birdman Dodd. They're on Twitch. We're going live now. And Alex is going live on Pornhub. Oh, wait. What's he doing? He's playing
Check
games.
Check out our social media.
He's playing games. But that ween is coming out at least once or twice. And
every time you fight a boss, you got to beat him before you come.
And you know what? You know what, all the listeners? Come up to me, and it would be hilarious if I start making more money doing porn gaming than you guys do.
There you go.
There's got to be a market. There's a market for everything in porn, so there's a market for a big fat guy playing video games pulling his ween out. It's going to happen. I could meet some interesting people.
It's the birth of a new and terrifying idea.
On that note, we're going to take a break from this extended news segment because this has been a really long show. So we're going to take a look at my review for Teen Titans Go to the Movies. What a transition this is. We'll be back right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity.
We are looking at Teen Titans Go to the Movies, coming to us from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment. This is one of the movies that I have been tremendously looking forward to coming on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital for quite some time. I didn't get a chance to see this in the theaters this past summer due to complications, but enough about that. This is a movie based upon the Teen Titans Go television series that basically takes the idea of the Teen Titans and turns them into morons. And that's surprisingly actually not a bad thing. I am ridiculously a huge fan of the Teen Titans Go series because it's goofy, weird toilet humor very much meshes with my own sense of humor. Take of that what you will. But Teen Titans Go to the Movies attempts to change that, to elevate them above toilet humor, because Robin, the leader of the Teen Titans, which also includes Cyborg, Beast Boy, Raven, and Starfire, decide that they want to be taken a bit more seriously. And Robin wants his own movies, like his heroes of Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman, hell, Swamp Thing, hell, even Alfred gets his own movie, according to this movie's universe. And what this happens is they have to get the eye of director Jade Wilson, who directs all these big superhero franchise movies in their universe. But they decide they need a villain, someone they can really be their nemesis, their nemesis, if you will. And they pick on, well, Slade Wilson. But they just call him Slade. They don't call him Deathstroke, which is kind of a shame. But I guess I don't want kids saying death this and death that. I get it. And it just kind of rolls off the tongue a little bit better, because in the movies they make a huge joke about it where they're like, Slade. But no, it's Deathstroke. Or they call him Deadpool, which I think is rather right on the nose. Hell, even Stan Lee has a cameo in this movie, which I think is tremendously funny because he won't turn down a paycheck. I love that old codger. Anyway, the movie itself is actually really funny, really hilarious, and we finally get our dream of a Nicolas Cage Superman, if only in animated form. Still, it is pretty funny. The movie is actually considered it's certified fresh, rather, from Rotten Tomatoes, and I actually couldn't agree with that more. This movie was a pure joy to watch. If you can turn your brain off for its runtime, it's pretty funny, especially if you like the Teen Titans Go series. Even if you don't, if you take your kids to this, I think you're going to have a really good time with it. There is a pretty funny gag right at the end where they try and shoehorn in a lesson, and it's pretty effective, but just the last 4 seconds of this movie, I died laughing because I thought it was just the ultimate adult joke that kids are going to ask their parents about, and it's pretty amusing. And I'm not going to spoil it here. I'm just going to say, you're going to have some explaining to do after the film's runtime. And there is, of course, the aforementioned Teen Titans kind of teaser in this, where they're like, we can come back. It's like a teaser. It's hidden within a movie. And we have Teen Titans versus Teen Titans Go at some point coming up soon. And I really wonder how they're going to pull that off. I sincerely do. Special features for this include a couple of music videos, a couple of sing-alongs, featurettes. There's the WB Lot Shenanigans, which isn't what I thought it was going to be. It's people dressed up in the mascot costumes of the Teen Titans running around the literal WB lot, seeing stuff from the DCEU set to the Shenanigans song, and it's just weird. I guess they must have had some money left in the budget for special features. There's also a DC superhero girl short called The Late Batsby,
which frankly, you can tell it's done by Lauren Faust of My Little Pony fame. They also have Tara Strong featured in there as Barbara Gordon slash Batgirl. Tara Strong, which I thought was actually kind of cool. I was actually rather impressed with that. There's also, you get to see what the Teen Titans are like in other languages, which was kind of strange. I didn't expect to see Hebrew of all the translated languages, especially Beast Boy talking about a burrito. And of course, the universal language we all speak, the fart. And there's a couple of other short things as well. There's a couple of deleted scenes. Overall, Teen Titans Go to the Movies is a pleasure to watch. It's a fun movie. And I really am going to recommend this on my holiday gift guide later on this year. So as we were discussing off air, we're discussing Alex's avenues for entering the adult industry. We decided we're going to call him Weed Whacker Games, where he takes a weed pill, plays a video game, and decides to beat his peen.
Yes.
This is weird. This is the weird news.
You think it's weird, but there's money to be made there somewhere.
And that was the weird news. Good night, everybody.
Okay, bye.
Okay, I love you. Bye-bye. Is that how I end my stream?
Okay, I love you. Bye-bye.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, so I got a story this week that is totally...
The goo has flowed. It's time to close the show.
God has truly abandoned us.
So I found this story courtesy of Internet Today. And this one, I think, is particularly amusing to me. Man stabs colleague in Antarctica because of book spoilers. Researchers at a Russian outpost was fed up after... researcher at Russian outpost was fed up of man telling him the ending of books. So this researcher stabbed a kitchen knife into his colleague because he was fed up with the man telling him the ending of all the books he was reading. So these two guys with the most Russian-sounding names you can imagine of Sergei...
is there a Yuri involved?
There's an Oleg.
Oh, sorry.
So, yeah. Okay. Investigators say that Sergei, can't pronounce it, Satovitsky, became
Sergei
angry.
Sergei
Romanov. They're all just Smirnov.
Became angry after Oleg kept telling him the endings of books. The duo were avid readers to pass the time at the Lonely Outpost. The victim is now in intensive care.
Oh, he got a good neck stab in it, didn't he?
After being flown from Russia's, can't pronounce the name of the research outpost, Smirnov, on King George Island to Chile with a knife injury to his heart.
Wait, he's flown to Chile?
Yeah, well,
it's they're
the
in Antarctica.
Area.
They're not in Russia. They're in Antarctica.
Yeah, they're in Antarctica.
I had the same moment. They're like, why would they go to Chile?
They flew 6 hours.
So the Interfax new agency said the assailant later voluntarily surrendered to the chief of the station and was placed under house arrest. The agency said the incident had resulted from tensions in a confined space. Can you only imagine what would happen had this been on, say, I don't know, the moon, Mars?
I think if you're that far up, you probably wouldn't kill somebody.
I think if you're on the moon, why are you
I think
reading?
You're kicking about the goddamn airlock at that point.
Like, I think you have a lot to do if you're on the moon or Mars right now. But, once we're terraformed, sure, but I mean, right now, do you really have time to read?
My friend, who shall remain nameless until we go off the air, I could always tell you about him. In high school, when it was Revenge of the Sith,
yeah,
was coming out,
yeah,
somebody was going to jokingly spoil it for him because he wasn't going to see it that weekend,
yeah,
after it came out, and he said, "If you say anything, I'm going to stab you." And
oh my god!
So-and-so said, "Oh," opened his mouth to continue talking, and he got a pen through the hand.
Oh my!
Oh
god.
My god! Silence.
Teacher said, "What the hell?" Explain the situation. Teacher said, "You're lucky he didn't stab you in the neck. Go get yourself cleaned up."
Jeez.
Because no, it didn't poke through any vein or anything. And all the guy goes, "I was just going to say Darth Vader's in it." And he goes, "I don't care." He goes, "Next time you get stabbed with a knife." Like, that is how hardcore my friend was into Star Wars.
You know what? I just kind of picture this Russian guy walking around the station, peeks his head around the corner. Snape kills Dumbledore.
Snape kills Dumbledore's friend.
But that's fucking terrible. I mean, I can't believe that.
And I mean, my friend is not a violent person, but that was enough to get stabbed with a pen.
I'm just impressed the guy knows that many endings to books.
I know, like...
There's nothing to do in Siberia.
So he's probably just reading the last 20 pages of each book.
That's true. He sees what he's reading, and then as soon as he's sleeping, he goes through and reads the last chapter. And just...
What a dick, but what the ultimate Russian troll.
No, the ultimate troll would be if, instead of reading the books, it's like, he's the nighttime guy, so on the duty roster, he writes a couple lines of what happens in the book the guy's reading.
No, he takes the last page out of every book.
Just take the last chapter out.
No, I don't think he would have got stabbed over not having the information. I think it would be like, he opens it up, he's like, okay, so the readings for this last night were this, this, this. This morning, we've got to water this, and we've got to do this test. And Moby Dick kills him in the end. What the fuck?
I mean, it sucks that the poor guy got stabbed in the fucking heart of all things.
Yeah, but
this
yeah.
guy's going to a Russian gulag. He ain't coming out.
Good luck reading books there.
What? Charlotte dies at the end of Charlotte's Web? You monster! You're going to get stabbed with a crazy... It's in Russia. He's lucky it wasn't poisoned.
Yeah. So when you go to the Antarctic, don't spoil the endings of books. My God.
Or just don't bring books with you or something. Do something else.
Get an ebook, motherfucker. Like, get an ebook reader. You know, and then you can hide it and lock it shit down. Or even then, if your friend's going to be that much of an asshole, just be like, I can't work with him. But then again, that might not be an option, Russia. You're totally.
Wiley, stop eating the goddamn tree.
Oh, God, because you were the crazy man that put up the Christmas tree early.
Oh, yeah.
November 1st Christmas tree.
I guess that's kind of a weird. Okay.
Is there
segue.
A Birdo in the tree?
Yes.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
We decided on Halloween night this year. We had no plans. Me and Blair are just sitting here. We're watching. I don't know. We tried watching the new Slender Man movie, which is.
And you begged me to find that for you.
Because I was hoping.
And I said, are you sure? Because I hear it's terrible. And you're like, I want to watch it. And I'm like, you're like, I'm Mr. Horror. I'm like, okay. And then all I saw was tweet after tweet of, oh my God, I'm dying.
Why is this so bad?
It's like, where's my 90 minutes back? Or whatever. And Blair's just like, why did I marry you?
That's okay. She made me watch the new Jurassic Park. It was fucking terrible, too.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Which is another thing I warned you about.
They all die at the end. Not really.
Fucking dinosaur. Wiley, stop eating the goddamn tree! Anyway, so we're literally sitting here. Blair's putting away our air conditioner for the year. And she hauls out the Christmas bin. And she intends to put it in the corner where our air conditioner is. I'm like, all right, we'll do it in like a week. I'm like, but I want Christmas now. And we spent 3 hours putting the tree in.
Well, I mean, the reason is, what, the last two Christmases, you almost died.
Yeah, exactly.
In a row.
So, let's
see. And you guys were a little on edge right before Halloween, because it's like, that's around the time shit happened.
Yeah, so.
And so far, I don't see you dying right now.
Yeah,
so.
I feel pretty good. Pretty healthy, actually.
So, if you get a sniffle, you get checked out right now.
Pretty much.
Because third time's a charm. Third time's a charm, and you don't want it to be the three's a charm this time.
Yeah, no. So
third time lucky.
So we're kind of hoping this year when my stumpiversary comes around, God. Which is November 26th, we're going to go out to dinner and...
You're going to get minced meat or something? And just...
I'm going to eat a leg of something.
Yeah, just turkey legs, leg of lamb.
Yeah, leg of lamb or chicken legs from the Chinese market.
Just the whole meal is just leg-based.
I can't wait till somebody asks me what I'm celebrating because I'm going to look at them, go, shaking my chode at you. So, anyway, that's what happened in the weird this week.
You shake your leg and go, story. This is what happens when I get hungry. Get my food quicker.
Hurry quickly.
I'm so sweet and tasty.
All right, guys. So, we'll be back. We're going to take a look at a game that betrayed me.
A little bit.
A little
It had
so
potential.
Much. It had, yeah, that's the thing. It had potential. But you'll hear what I have to say in this review of Nickelodeon Kart Racers. We'll be back right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity.
Now, you're already cleared for entrance in the unforeseen event of total atomic annihilation.
I'm here to pick up an order. Two large pepperoni and a calzone. Name is Fuck You.
I mean, technically, the corpse was defiled already.
Welcome back to Satan's Pantry here on Twig as we take a walk down the Devil's Grocery Aisle. But as you've noticed over the last few weeks, we've been taking a look at the world of Bethesda's Fallout Vault 76, or Fallout 76, I believe the game is called. And we're taking a look at the Inside Edition's Fallout, the official Vault Dweller's official cookbook by Victoria Rosenthal. And over the past few weeks, we've had a chance to try recipes such as Quantum Nuka-Cola. We've also had Instamash. And this week, we're going to be trying an appetizer. And that's, something you can find in-game. And that's iguana on a stick. Now, obviously, we're not eating a real iguana, because I'm pretty sure PETA would be kicking down my damn door.
Pretty much. And based on what we've had so far, the previous two recipes, my hopes are actually pretty high, so I'm not intimidated by an unusual-sounding name.
So, according to this, this particular meal will give us a special boost of +1 to endurance for 30 minutes. So, according to the blurb, after thousands of hours and millions of dollars spent on Vault Tech is proud to bring you the ultimate recipe for kebabs, better known as meat on a stick. Duck produced the best results, but really any meat will do. Now, I have an intolerance to pork, so I can't have it, so we're doing this with chicken. Now, according to the recipe, there's garlic in this, olive oil, red wine vinegar, honey, dried oregano, ginger, the meat, of course, and a quarter of a red onion quartered and layer separated. So I guess without any further ado, my wife barbecued this in the middle of the night.
It's very cold out here.
It's very cold. Oh, my God.
For October, it's pretty darn cold out here in Ontario.
So without any further ado, let's try the quote-unquote iguana on a stick.
You can really taste the iguana.
I'm trying to... You taste the honey a little bit.
It feels like a lot of the flavors are kind of balancing, but also canceling each other out a
little. Yeah, it's almost like you're losing anything in there. Isn't terrible.
Yeah, it's pleasant to eat. I'm enjoying it, but it feels like it's lacking that one flavor that's going to define it, and then...
Yeah, like, it needs sauce or a glaze, but then again, I guess in Fallout, they're trying to capture the feel of capturing a wild iguana and killing it.
Yeah, you're not exactly there for the luxury of it. You're eating an iguana, so...
Yeah, so, I don't know. I would say with this one, it's not the strongest one we've had. This is probably the quote-unquote loser so far. But, yeah, I don't know. Just I expected more. I'm actually going to try one more piece. Maybe it was just the piece that I had.
There was another bite that I took that had a bit more flavor to it. It was a little juicier, and that made a bit of a difference. Mm-hmm. Having a bit more of a moisture to it brings the flavors out.
Mm-hmm. I got one that was a little more charred, but with a piece of onion. Yeah, I'm not really tasting a whole lot with this, unfortunately.
It's meat.
Yeah, it's meat. It needs a sauce and a glaze, without a doubt. So I'd say that's probably the weakest of the ones we've tried so far. Now I know.
To say that it's bad. Just that it's really lacking in the depth and the strength of a flavor that what we've tasted so far before this had.
I'd be curious to try this with the duck variant, because I haven't had a lot of experience with duck, and with this recipe was in mind with duck, chicken close enough. So I don't know. We'd have to wait and see. I know next time on Satan's Pantry, we're going to be taking a look at a dessert based it, and I'm not quite sure which one my wife has picked. So we'll find out next week right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity. And we'll catch you guys as we return to the, I guess you'd call it the Guelph Wasteland.
Crawl out through the fallout, baby, when they drop that bomb. Crawl out through the fallout with the greatest of aplomb.
Is mayonnaise an instrument?
No, Patrick, mayonnaise is not an instrument.
Today we are looking at Nickelodeon Kart Racers, brought to you by Game Mill Entertainment. Now, when I first heard this game announced, I was tremendously excited. I've been a huge fan of Nickelodeon since You Can't Do That on Television. I have been a fan of Rugrats, Ninja Turtles, Hey Arnold, SpongeBob, which was a very big reason I got through the hospital last year. And I was a huge proponent for this game. It's going to be cool. It's a Mario Kart clone, but with Nickelodeon characters. Licensed games don't have to suck. And I don't review a lot of Switch games, so I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to get this for the Switch. I'm really going to give this the good old college try. I'm going to get excited for it, and I'm going to be like, all right, cool, let's do it. I get 12 characters across 24 different tracks. Let's go, boys. And then I played the game.
Betrayal! Betrayal! Betrayed me!
Couldn't have said it better myself. This feels like a betrayal of the license, and you may be saying, well, that's a little bit harsh, Mike, and let me explain to you why. You get 12 characters. You get
SpongeBob, Patrick, Sandy, Angelica, Reptar, Tommy, the four Ninja Turtles, Hey Arnold, Helga, and I'm pretty sure that's everybody. And only 12 characters in this modern console era. They could only get the license to 12 characters. And I'm thinking, where's Splinter? Where's Shredder? Where's Ah Real Monsters? You could have gotten any other of the Nickelodeon shows from that era. Where's Rocko's Modern Life? Stuff like that. Mr. Krabs would have been awesome in this. Or Plankton. Or even Merman or something like that. There could have been hidden characters. And with the Rugrats, it's particularly bad because you get Tommy and Angelica and Reptar. Cool. Where's Chucky? One of the most iconic characters from the Nickelodeon franchise. And he's not here. Okay, but there are 24 tracks. That being said, that's actually kind of neat. There actually is a gameplay mechanic where in which you drive over slime, which builds up a slime meter, gives you a temporary turbo boost. You can also do drifts for turbo boost, which we've seen in other Mario Kart clones before, and Mario Kart itself. Okay, fine. Gameplay-wise, it's kind of simple. Enemy AI is simply put brutally effective. Even on lower difficulties, the rubber banding in this game is brutal. Where you think you should be laughing opponents, you should see them in your rearview mirror and laugh at them. No, they are constantly on you. One particular game instance I had encountered a game-breaking glitch, or what should have been. I got hit by a piece of the environment in the world that was moving. It knocked me through the world on the second lap, put me into last place. I was able to rubber band quickly enough to catch up and finish in first place by the third lap. That reeks of bad game design, and I really can't say that enough. It's just, I can tell the people that made this have some love for these characters, because there's one level very early on when you're in New York City, I think, with the Ninja Turtles. You see Shredder and Splinter fighting on top of one of the pieces of the environment. That's cool. You fight in Dimension X. You go through Hey Arnold's school and whatnot. You see the Rugrats house. Okay, cool. Neat. But one of the things that's missing from this, I'm talking about all these great licenses like Rugrats, Turtles, SpongeBob. You'd think there'd be voice acting. You'd think that. You would be wrong. Oh my God, would you be wrong? And I'm just surprised by that, because to license these characters, you'd think they'd license the voice actors. And you're telling me 20 years of SpongeBob, you couldn't have licensed a few clips like Sandy saying, "Dang Nabbit," or SpongeBob going, "Imagination," or "Go, SpongeBob," or something like that. Like, come on. Or the new Ninja Turtles series. Now, I realize they're trying to push Rise of the TMNT, but you're telling me you couldn't have used from 5 seasons of the television show, you couldn't have found a few clips and isolated them and used them for this kart racer? That's unforgivable, in my mind. But gameplay-wise, it's simple. If you're a younger gamer, you might find some value in this. This game is currently retailing for about $40. And at that price, I simply cannot recommend it, because I think the license has been treated rather poorly. I think there could have been a lot more, and there should have been a lot more characters in this. There is no online multiplayer, local only. However, that being said, in the game's defense, there is a lot to unlock via in-game currency. There is some customization options you can do for your cart, which does improve performance. And I will say this, if you could find this game between $10 and $20, for a younger person who knows these properties, they might get some value out of it. But for a nostalgic trip back into the past at $40 with no voice acting, I simply can't recommend it to a modern gamer.
I guess I'll just limp home then.
No! That game sucked! My God, did I hate playing that. No, do not buy this.
So is it game-breaking buggy? Or is
yeah,
it...
I fell through the world and somehow ended up in first place after being in last. The rubber banding in that game is so fucking terrible.
You know, and it's something where they've... who was the publisher for it?
I don't recall offhand.
Was it Game Mill or one of these other ones that handles a lot of these NIC games? If it is, a lot of times they do patch it later on.
Well, the problem is it was the no voice acting killed me. You're telling me you couldn't have sprung some voice acting?
It was licensed but didn't... Okay, but here's the thing. If you...
At $40, no. At $20,
okay,
sure.
Okay, it's $40, so it is... Okay.
It's a budget title, but you're telling me you couldn't have licensed some clips from 20 years of SpongeBob, from 5 seasons of Ninja Turtles? Like, come on. Plus, no Chucky, no buy. That's kind of what killed it for me. Like there were 3 Rugrats characters, and not one of them was Chucky. Yet we get Reptar of all people, which, yeah, okay, cool.
Grandpa?
No. You got Tommy and Angelica.
So you got Nick Kart Racing B-Roll Edition.
Yeah, basically. It was so bad. And there's virtually no differences between the racers, at least that I found.
Okay, that's disappointing. Hopefully in the future they can...
Put more effort into it. If they made this a $60 game and put some real effort into it, this could be a competitor to Mario Kart.
Like, if it was an $80 Canadian game, they would have had to have had voice clips.
Voice acting, yeah. More music.
But the fact that it's half price, it should be functional. It doesn't necessarily need to have everything, but I think the functional aspect can be patched in, and it might still be, because it is a licensed property that a lot of people are going to want to get, so... I wouldn't be surprised if
they
patched it.
The fact that they released it during October means they believed in it.
Yeah, so day one, it's probably rough, right?
Yeah, it's at this point, I say avoid it. If it drops to $20 and you have little kids around the house that don't want to have too much of a challenge, then...
Or you can't afford Mario.
Yeah, because
it's still $80 and it's not coming down in price anytime soon.
No. So anyway, that pretty much was the show this week here on Twig. We had a long discussion in our news, but it was a really good discussion this past week. As always, you can email us feedback@thisweekingeek.net or comment on the episode post, or just reach out to us on Twitter, because we seem to be really active there. So I'm @BirdmanDodd. Alex is?
@TurterTreasure.
And of course, @MrChristopher.
And we always respond. I'm doing more stuff with Steve on Altered Geek. Stay tuned for a rather... candid conversation about the media coming up, I think, next week or the week thereafter over on the Geekcast Radio Network. We're probably not covering Crown Jewel on Mayhem Mikes because fuck that show.
There are basically two things. I can say it right here. Two things worth watching. Hulk Hogan's introduction into it, because it's the first time in 4 years he's been there. Think what you will about his past. It is still kind of cool seeing him walk out.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say on that. I'm okay with him personally. I don't know if it's the right venue to do it, but it probably was, because it wasn't in the States. So, yeah. Timing-wise, whatever. That and the entrance of DX and Taker and that was cool. The match was okay. The rest of it was... You could see, except for the DX match...
Everything was so boring.
Everything was phoned in.
Yeah. Although, I will say the Dolph Ziggler-Seth Rollins was okay. But we've seen that before.
Yeah, and I guess I may as well sit here. I'm probably not going to do the follow-up to the... to the Super Showdown prediction thing I did, because I was so sick for 2.5 weeks after I recorded that.
You were pretty rough.
So just to finish that up here, I will say my predictions were like 90% right for that show. The Evolution show,
It was really good, I thought.
I was bored. I know it was a good show, but I was bored. Here's the thing. I do like the women wrestlers and all that, but we're only seeing there's 10 people on the roster. So there's only so many matches you can get before it gets boring. So yeah. I did like that they brought in some of the classic people.
The Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair was really good, really intense.
Yeah, nothing wrong with it. I just personally, I've seen them over and over again. They need new blood.
Yeah.
They need to bring up some more of the NXT people and mix them up.
Or do another, I guess we'll have another Mae Young sooner rather than later.
Yeah, or if they do introduce women's tag titles, that opens up more opportunities to get either older performers in with the younger people, to mix and match it, or younger people in, or just switching things up. And if you're going to have tag matches, you may as well have something on the line.
Yeah.
So I would say you could have mixed the two shows together and had one really good show.
That would have been good. So, that's coming up on the site this week. I am finally hoping to get that box roll. Cambridge Chronicles is recording actually right after this.
Yes.
Surprisingly, we're doing some cool stuff. So we will have stuff out on the Cambridge Chronicles Terrible Warriors site in the next few weeks. We just want to build up a few weeks of content first.
Yeah.
So you're getting weeks of content. We're not playing constant catch-up.
Yeah, so basically, you know, this is not going to be like the main Terrible Warriors programming where there's a pretty rigid schedule of you got this, you got this, you got this every week. Ours is going to be, we've got batches coming out, and you're going to get...
We're kind of like The Walking Dead, where there's the, here's 6-7 episodes, there's a break for a while, then we come back with another.
They're specials because if we try to force it consistently every time, when inspiration hasn't struck us, it will...
Plus, it's Christmas time, guys.
Yeah. The thing is, we don't want quality to be affected because either we're not inspired or we're just too busy.
Yeah, we want things to be good. We want things to be solid.
So every episode we're hoping you'll get is high quality.
Exactly. So anyway, guys, until next time, for This Week in Geek, we have been...
Alex.
Mr. Christopher.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying be cool, be kind, be careful, and of course, live for your Die Hard. We'll catch you guys again next time right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Well, that's our show. All right, here's the deal. Every time you watch my show, I will send you $40.
Checks will not be honored.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek, your source for guaranteed nonsense or your money back. Tune in next week for more info and the most important things you didn't need to know. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head over to this episode's post at thisweekingeek.net and leave a comment through Facebook Connect. Follow us on Twitter at thisweekingeek.net and follow our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. Social media not your thing? Send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Just when you think this show is terrible, something wonderful happens.
What?
It ends.
I have to go. Somewhere there is a crime happening.